Hello, I'm Shane Starling, the senior editor of Food Navigator Asia and Nutri Ingredients, and I'm here with the editor of Food Navigator Asia, Richard Whitehead. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Shane.
Good to see you. We're here on day three of Healthy Ingredients Japan. It's the last day of the show. We've been here for the full 3 days. Now, Richard, tell me, what kind of trends have you noticed walking around on the floor here in Tokyo?
Well, it's no surprise, really. Healthy aging is really to the fore at this show, whereas at other trade shows you'd expect to see lots of beautiful nubile ladies on the posters promoting products. Here it's older faces, older people, because Japanese got a real demand for supplements for the older generation. With 25% of the Japanese population retired, there's a huge problem in this country. But it's also good for manufacturers. They've got money, the older people, they're retired, they're interested in health, they're getting the industry's getting a lot of government support to help develop products to make older people's lives more manageable, more comfortable, and that's certainly a big issue in Japan. It's reflected in this show.
Yeah, no, I think that's reflected as well. The government entering the scene here, because there's new laws coming into place in Japan next year, because they have a system here called Foshu, which governs the kinds of claims that can be made. But it's very expensive to get a Foshu claim, and some say the system is not really registering with consumers anymore. So from April next year, they're saying that there'll be a new system where health claims can be made on a lot of products that don't carry them now. So you see these crazy Japanese vending machines with all these products, but not many of them say what they do. But from next year, they're going to be able to do that. So a lot of buzz on the show floor about what that means, what kind of science is going to be required to get these kinds of claims. So that's really going to be a game-changing regulation. So that's really something that everyone here is talking about. And there's a lot of crazy, Japan's known for being the hotbed of innovation in functional foods and supplements, sort of in the most cutting-edge market. And you see things that are one thing, what placenta, as an example, which is what it's everywhere, it seems to be here at the show. What have you noticed there?
Well, yes, walking up and down the halls, you see crazy stands just full of different varieties of placenta. It's not such a big deal in Europe and North America, but certainly in East Asia.
Human placenta?
Sadly, no human placenta that we've seen, but we have seen salmon placenta, rose placenta, pig and horse placenta. There are all sorts of varieties around, and they're really... big take-up among the consumers for it. Again, it's the anti-aging for the older generation. People wanting to look younger, and they have the money to pay for what is quite an expensive product. And there's a lot of variety available. This morning, we've both been consuming placenta ourselves with mixed experiences, I suppose, as Westerners. But there's certainly a popular segment within this market.
Something like 100 million US, I believe, in Japan for the placenta market. The biggest in the world, even though it's a Chinese tradition.
It is a Chinese tradition. It's been part of Chinese traditional medicine for the last 500 years since it first appeared in a dictionary. We've tried a mixture of placenta with Korean ginseng, which was quite palatable until, as Westerners, we reminded what we've been consuming. But I can see, Shane, that you're already looking a little bit better. Maybe another vial of it.
Yeah, well, you can only take beauty one way. But and in general, just to close, then what you're seeing here is the Japanese market, which has always been quite insular, also looking to open up and become more international. And it seems like a lot of the Japanese companies that are here are looking outside of Japan, maybe for the first time.
I think this is a result of Abenomics, which has taken Japan a little more international in regard. But when you look at this show, it's very rare to find someone who can tell you about their products in English. It's all it tends to gear towards the Japanese market, but there is a recognition that as Japan opens up, there needs to be more contact with international companies, and I think it looks like they're trying to build bridges with the rest of the world, which can only be a good thing for not just the Japanese industry, but for the world industry. All these innovations flooding out of Japan, there may be short-term innovations. Many wild and wacky products are only on the shelves for a year or so, but as Westerners, we hear about these and quite blown away by them. But to have access to those now, or the potential to have access to them, is quite a going to be quite a novel thing for the West.
Yeah, it certainly looks like the Japanese market is going to grow, especially with this new law in place. And the Japanese market is Japanese products are going to have more of an influence around the world. So watch this space for more. Thanks, I'm Shane Starling.
And I'm Richard Whitehead.
Nutri-Ingredients, Food Navigator Asia in Tokyo.